Hello, and welcome to Longwood GradCast, Beyond the Degree. I'm your host and Assistant Dean of the College of Graduate and Professional Studies, Dr. Sarah Tanner Anderson. In this series, we'll dive deep into the stories of Longwood University's graduate and professional studies alumni, students, and faculty who are achieving remarkable success. Whether you're an aspiring graduate student, a proud alum, or simply curious about the extraordinary journeys our Longwood graduates take beyond their degree, this podcast is your backstage pass to the transformative power of education coupled with determination. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and awed by stories that prove there are no limits to what a Longwood Lancer can achieve. Welcome to the next episode of Longwood GradCast Beyond the Degree. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Tanner Anderson, and today I am delighted to be joined by Sadie Hodges, another Longwood double alum who is here to share a little bit about her journey into the field of special education. Welcome today, Sadie.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
We're so excited to have you here with us today. And I'd love to just dive in and see if you might share with us a little bit about your journey into the field of special education, maybe from your early influences that helped you decide to pursue a degree here at Longwood. So from coming here to Longwood for the five-year special ed program and sticking around for the master's program, I'd love to hear about your journey.
Absolutely. I have to take it back to fourth grade. I had my all-time favorite teacher, Mr. Schaefer. He was a first-year teacher, and he was the first one to make me feel really confident and love coming to school. I also had a teacher, Ms. Stevens, who is a proud alumna of Longwood University, and that's where I heard about Longwood. I was in elementary school. I was like, wow, if I have to go to Longwood to be a teacher, that's what I'm going to do. But it wasn't until high school where I got involved with a program called Jacob's Chance. It's a nonprofit that serves individuals with disabilities, and I volunteered for their sports program. So I had some more exposure to people with disabilities, all different types of abilities, Down syndrome, intellectual, physical, the list goes on and on. So I was really curious about it. My cousin, she has cerebral palsy, and she wasn't expected to live very long. So I knew about people with disabilities, but I was so curious. I wanted to learn more. So I started researching special education, and Longwood was always in the back of my mind. And I went to check it out, and I toured, and I went back, and I kept researching. And I was just really excited to learn about the program and what it had to offer me. And my first tour I took at Longwood, I had one of my best friends now, her name is Casey Ripp. She gave me a tour, and she was pursuing the five-year program in special education at Longwood. So immediately I was like, I want to be friends with her. I want to learn from her. I want to know what experiences she has. And my first year at Longwood, I became an ambassador, and she was my mentor. So we connected right away, and from then on, I knew this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I just felt that so strongly inside me, and I had no idea what else was going to happen, but I'm so glad that I pursued that track from an early age.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Sadie. And I'm so glad that you did too. You've made such a difference here at Longwood in so many lives, and it's amazing to hear that all the way back in fourth grade that you had a love sparked for this kind of learning, for these experiences. And you shared a lot about your pathway. So could you tell us a little bit about your graduate program here at Longwood and maybe reflect on some of the experiences you had, any valuable experiences that you had while you were here as a graduate student?
Yes, absolutely. I got to be a part of the early stages of the Longwood Life program. I served as a teacher, as a coach. I got to take students out to work once a week and around campus, and I got to be a job coach for them, which is a passion of mine. I collected data on how the students were doing at their job site, and each week we worked on things to improve their accuracy and efficiency with the job task. And Dr. Feathers and I actually got to start a research paper together that dealt with video modeling and video prompting, which was a huge thing that wasn't really that big in special ed at the time. There wasn't a whole lot of information or research on it. So we decided to write about it and to implement it in the Longwood Life program. And to me, that was really important because it seemed like we were having a direct influence on the field and what we could bring differently to the field of special ed. Then we got to present on it. We presented at a conference and we got to talk to other educators, and connecting with other educators across the state and even to another country was something that is unforgettable to me and something I will carry with me for the rest of my life.
That is fascinating, Sadie. And I love to hear that your collaboration with Dr. Feathers really became something very relevant beyond just research and a paper. You were able to present on it and to implement it within the Longwood Life program. I think that's just fantastic. So can you tell me a little bit about that experience, you collaborating with Dr. Feathers and when you presented in Ukraine, about that experience? You said that it was life-changing and affirming to the work you do. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
Dr. Feathers actually adopted her daughter from Ukraine. So Ukraine is very near and dear to her. And when she had talked to me about it in undergrad, and then when I got to grad school, she asked me one day, just out of the blue, would you like to go with me and present on what we're doing? And I immediately said yes. And I was like, and with no doubt in my mind, I was like, yes, I want to go. I want to learn. I want to experience the world. And that's what we did. We went with another student, Peyton, and Dr. Scarrow. They presented on theater and we presented on special education. And we went right before COVID. I was not nervous, surprisingly, because I felt so comfortable with Dr. Feathers. She and I had a really great relationship today. And for me, that was something that I felt was really important that we did together. So we went, we got to meet some of her friends that she has had for many years, and we got to go to a university and present to other educators, primarily women who were really willing to learn and try new things, which I loved, and just hearing how supportive they were for the field and how willing they wanted to learn from us was really meaningful, especially because I was so much younger than some of them that I was so excited to learn from them and to bring what we had learned from Longwood Life and the U.S. They didn't offer people with intellectual disabilities the opportunity to go to school at that time. And for me, that was heartbreaking because I couldn't imagine that in the U.S. Learning from their experiences and how far that they have come really inspired me, that they wanted to learn and bring new things to the field and offer education for all of their children in Ukraine.
I just love that, Sadie. What an amazing experience for you as a graduate student and also just as someone stepping into the field and being able to take the work that you've been doing in research and really apply it in a meaningful way to an audience that was receptive and engaged and excited to hear about what you were doing here in the United States. What an amazing opportunity. So tell me a little bit about the project itself, about the research. I think I understand that it's video modeling for students, for folks who are on the job training and the experience that then provides them. So can you tell us a little bit about how you use that, how you incorporated that both into your research and your presentations and into Longwood Life?
So first, we researched what was out there already. We found some things in a few post-secondary schools, but not a ton of stuff was available. So we got a little creative and we looked at our program specifically. So within Longwood Life, Dr. Feathers and I had created videos. And while we were filming the videos, we also had our participants, our college students in Longwood Life, watch as we did a task and we had it recorded. And then we had them watch the video maybe that same day or the next day or the week later, and they had to follow the video and duplicate the task that we were doing. We even had some of them create their own videos so they could see themselves doing a vocational task. And then the next time they would use that video and be like, oh, that's me. This is exactly what I did. Let me do it again, just to make it a little more relatable for them. And we found a lot of success with it. Unfortunately, COVID did happen. So it did put a pause on the research we were doing and the implementation of the video modeling. But we were able to take some data and we collected data on what prompts the students were using at first. And then with the help of video modeling or video prompting, hopefully being able to remove some of those prompting and have more accuracy and efficiency for the task after a period of time. I would have loved to continue doing the implementation of the video modeling and prompting. And I know Dr. Feathers was able to, which was great, but we reconvene and we're still talking about our research and hoping to finalize some more things. I know that she has some other grad assistants that are working for the program and are still doing it, which is amazing. That's what we wanted. We wanted a long-term effect and project to implement within the program and find success with it. And I'm really glad that she's able to still do that. And she keeps me involved and updates me on how it's going. And I really light up when I hear that it's still being used and the program is growing so much, and knowing that we went from, 13, 14 participants to now closer in the 20s. And I just think it's wonderful.
I agree with you, Sadie. I think it's wonderful too. And I love to know that the research is continuing. I'm really interested what you think about this technology being employed beyond Longwood Life and the work that you've done here at Longwood, but this technology being employed for special education and job training programs out across the Commonwealth. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I actually have the opportunity to take some students out to work as a job coach and their teacher during the day. And I have a few students that don't speak English. I have a few that speak Spanish and Arabic. And with that, technology is huge, has been huge in helping. I do have some students in high school that can't read or read at a very early age, like first grade, second grade, and that's where they're at. And being able to have technology, even as simple as a translating tool on their phone for them to understand what's being asked of them, whether it in the classroom, whether it out on the job site, has been really great. I also use a lot of technology for visuals for my students. I have some that don't quite understand the language that I'm using sometimes with the wording of things, and showing them is really helpful. I create some checklists for students individually, and I always associate a picture with that. And being able for them to see it, whether it be on a tablet, whether it be on a sheet of paper that I've printed out, I think is really important. It's the simple things that we don't quite always think of when maybe I'm doing a job or you're doing a job, but for someone with a disability, having that additional visual with that one word associated to it can be really helpful. So I definitely appreciate all of the translation features that technology has to offer, especially I come from a school where we have a very big English second language population. And that has been very helpful. We've been able to collaborate with ESL teachers and find what works best for our students, especially with someone who has a disability and maybe a language barrier, can be very difficult, especially out in the working field. So trying to find those things to overcome it has been really helpful. So I'm excited to see what else comes out, because students show me things that they've used and they're like, yeah, this tool really helps me. And to me, that's amazing. So I just hope that more and more things come out, especially because we have so many people in America now that speak different languages. So I think it's a wonderful thing that we're able to use our resources and provide the support that they need.
Sadie, I just have to say, your voice, so light and so excited when you start talking about your students. I just love it. It brightened my day to hear you talk about your students. So I guess I'd love to know more about that. So you talked about working with your students. You're at Henrico County Public Schools. The work that you're doing with your students, any memorable experiences or achievements in your time so far at Henrico County Public Schools? Because just listening to you talk about your students and how much you brightened my day by hearing about them, I'm sure everyone would love to hear more about the work that you're doing out in the field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would not do the job that I'm doing if it weren't for the students. They are the best part of my day. They keep me going. I get to do really fun and exciting learning things with them. We have a coffee cart that my students have been working on this year and last year. After COVID, we revamped it a little bit and were able to bring it back. They work on their social skills. They work on their money skills. They are interacting. We bring the coffee cart around to different faculty and staff at the school, as well as students. So students are able to buy snacks. Everything is a dollar. So my students just get to practice making change, restocking the cart, talking to people around the school, and just get to have a relationship with other people in an inclusive environment, which I think is wonderful. We also have an organization called Panther Buddies, and these are general ed students that come during our little free time during the day, and they work with my students. You see some of them take them on walks. They work with them on academics. They help them with different events that we put on, one being the Big Feet Meet that the Special Olympics hosts for us every year. And my whole goal is to provide inclusive opportunities for them. I think that's so important, especially when during COVID, we were a little more isolated and not having that socialization piece for them was really detrimental for some of them. So just trying to find opportunities for them to be a part of the school as a whole. We attend sporting events. We are always willing to participate in programs. We've had a lot of teachers that have invited us to come into their class and talk and be a part of a project. Just this past week, I had three students participate in a Henrico 21 event. So you have all of the schools in Henrico County represented, and they present on a project that they've been working on. And for our project from Henrico County, we partnered with two science teachers in a collaborative ESL science class who were presenting on biomes and learning how can we make this more accessible for students with either with language barriers or disabilities. Myself and another teacher went to present to their students, and we talked about disabilities themselves, and we also talked about some sensory strategies that help our students learn best. And then those students from the science class took what we had talked about, and they implemented them into making their biomes. So they created biomes in a shoebox, and they used all different materials. They even used the Scratch program to create sounds of what different animals would sound like in the biome. And then they invited all of my students to go into the library and to learn about the biomes and to touch them, to hear them, to ask questions. And we used that as a project to present at the Henrico 21 event. And to my students, that was the most exciting thing ever. They were really excited to go and to learn about other things and to talk about their own experiences. And I had a student who doesn't talk as clearly or doesn't talk as much and was still able to communicate how much that he really appreciated this. And it was just a really cool experience. I think when they win, I win. Whatever I can offer them, whether that be going out into the community, we take a lot of trips out to local stores, just things around that we can learn from. Like we went to Walmart a couple months ago And that might just be a simple trip for somebody. But to them, that was, you know, a big experience. And they got to learn how to navigate the store themselves and to use their money to buy things and just learn about future jobs that they might want to explore. So something so little that we might take for granted is just the biggest thing to them. And it's really eye-opening and inspiring to me that every day I go into work and there's always something different. There's always something fun we get to do and we get to experience together. And knowing how much that they've grown and try new things really makes me want to grow and try new things too. So we definitely grow together. And I'm just really appreciative for where I'm at right now.
As much as your students inspire you, I think what you've shared has just really inspired us. And to hear you say, when they win, I win, I think that is just really powerful. And also to hear about the power of all the collaboration. It seems that you're able to work with lots of different stakeholders to give your students the best experiences, but also to grow in yourself, in your leadership, in your learning. And so can you tell us about balancing that? So your teaching, but also your desire for professional development and continuing to research all of those things. How do you do it all, Sadie?
That's a great question. I try to incorporate trying to learn those new things within the school and trying to make my students a part of those things. Like when I ask them, what are some things that we want to go research or we want to go see? They are just as much a part of it as I am. We had a job site we went to last year. It was the church close to us. And they told me, they were like, we really want to go back. Can you make that happen? And I'm like, okay, let's do it together. So really incorporating them and bringing them in to what I'm learning and what I'm experiencing has been really helpful, especially because during the day it can be very busy and there's a lot to do and take care of. But I think they see the eagerness of me wanting to learn, and it helps them want to learn too. When I can tell them about something new that maybe I just learned from the county or from my department chairs, I tell them about it. I think that there's nothing too big that they can't hear or they can't handle. And I just break things down for them and I tell them, like I told them, video modeling and prompting is something I did at Longwood and I want to try it with you guys. And they were like, okay, so we've been doing it. I want to do it more consistently and constantly with them, but they're open to it because they're willing to try things that I get excited about. When they see how excited I am about something, they're like, okay, like we'll try it. And they're really great about that. So that's something that I am really lucky to bring to them because I don't always remember, like, you know, a teacher in school, like if they're learning about something, like I want to learn about it too. You know, I want to be a part of it. And I want them to be included and to feel like they can have a direct influence and have some agency in their learning. So if there's something that they really want to do, they'll tell me about it and then I'll do my best to make it happen. So I'm constantly looking for new things and to try new things. And I definitely want to get back more into the research aspect of it. And right now I'm really interested in transition and what I can do next with that, because that to me is, if I could do that all the time, I would, because I think it's just so important, especially when I have a student that leaves high school, they have their rest of their life and they need to figure out what's next for me. Is it work? Is it day support? Is it something? I want to be able to provide them with something. So right now I'm currently just learning as much I can about transition and how to help them with that aspect. But that's been new and upcoming for me. So that's where my interest is right now.
I think that's fascinating though. And it leads into my next question. So you mentioned the importance of transition and being there for your students and being a help for your students as they transition from one point to another. I don't want to obviously put words in your mouth, but it seems like that might be a challenge for educators, making sure that they understand those points and how to assist with it. So what are some of the biggest challenges that our special education teachers are facing today? And how can they work to reconcile some of those challenges or to address some of those challenges?
I would say right now, it has been difficult to provide students with the support that they need all the time. And the biggest support that I could ask for would be people. We are a little short-staffed in terms of our instructional assistants, and I really value our instructional assistants at my school. They do a lot, and I couldn't do the job without them. Knowing that we have openings and knowing that there are openings out there is hard, because I want to be able to provide them with the best education and have support for them all the time. But sometimes we have to adjust and be flexible. And if that means that I have to miss a planning to go help a student out or not be able to finish something because I'm with the student, then we're doing it right now. I would say having all of the staff that we need has definitely been a challenge, especially this year, because we do have students that are going out into general ed classes for electives, which is a wonderful thing. But we also need to make sure that we have people that go with them. So they are, but then in other areas, we're like, oh, it would be really helpful to have some help over here. And with all of the paperwork and documentation that is necessary for my job, I feel like that has definitely been another challenge that a lot of special ed educators feel. There's constantly things that we need to make sure that are being taken care of. And I understand for legal reasons, but it's very time consuming. And I want to be able to make sure that I'm doing a good job teaching, but I'm also doing a good job case managing. So having those two roles has been difficult in terms of planning my time accordingly and making sure that I don't overwork myself or I'm doing work outside of school. Sometimes you have to get things done. I think that work-life balance has been really difficult for me, especially at first. During COVID, we were online, virtual, and then I was like, okay, I'll just keep working and doing my thing after school ended. But now I'm getting better at knowing there's always going to be stuff on my to-do list and prioritizing what I can get done right away and just progressively starting with things. So I'll do a little bit at a time. That way it's not like an overload at the end of the 9 weeks or when an IEP is coming up. So there's a lot of things. There's grades, there's progress reports, there's IEP paperwork. Sometimes you meet as an IEP team a couple times a year, which can take more time when having to schedule that to make sure that you have an administrator and a parent attend and just everybody in the team be present. But I am very fortunate because my school is very supportive and always willing to do what's best to make things work for us, which has been really nice. We're very adaptable and flexible, and I feel like you have to be in special ed. But I have a really great support system, which is leading me into how to overcome some of these things. I always have people that are willing to listen to what we're facing and what we're going through on a day-to-day basis. My principal is wonderful. He has a very special heart for special education, and my department chairs are excellent as well. Hearing that I have a great support system has meant a lot to me, because I'm able to voice my concerns in a comfortable environment, and I won't ever feel like shut down or told that's just the job. They're very understanding. And if there's anything that they can take off our plate, they do, which is wonderful. I think that educators should advocate for what they need and what they want. And having people listen is very important, because things can change. And I know people get in the mindset of this is the job and this is how it is. But I do think that people's voices and their actions can help a lot with those things. So I want people to feel like they feel comfortable telling their admin or their leaders how they feel, because you never know what kind of influence that'll have and what that can spark and what that can help change.
Everything you just shared is so powerful, Sadie, and I think it's so important. You shared a little bit about the challenges, but you also shared a lot of tips and strategies and tricks, things that you've learned in your time in the field. And I think knowing that and finding that balance and finding that support network and knowing who to talk to and being an advocate both for yourself and for your students, I think is so incredibly powerful and important. And so you mentioned a little bit about talking with your leaders, having that good support network. Can you tell me a little bit about the great mentors that have gotten you to this point? So you've talked about Dr. Feathers, you've talked about educators along the way who've gotten you to this point. What does mentorship look like for you now?
That's great. So mentorship can look very different for me in many different aspects of my life. I have people at school that have really helped me grow and have pushed me. My principal and one of my close friends, who also is a teacher in the field, and I also have my department chairs who see the capabilities, but also have really helped me find out what I want to do in the grand scheme of things, because I know that for me, I love the classroom, but I don't want to stay there forever. And that's a nerve-wracking thing because I'm comfortable right now. But having those people that ask me about my passions and ask what I want to do next and tell me, you need to do this and you need to try this, has been really good. That push has helped me come out of my shell and put myself out there. But I also have mentors in other aspects of my life. I work for a nonprofit who serves individuals with disabilities, and I have mentors who might be, you know, several years older than me or a year older than me. I don't think that age determines how a mentor can be for you. And I've really learned that I've learned from people who are younger than me, from volunteers that have served at the nonprofit and work with our individuals. I learn things from them. I think a mentor is someone who you can trust and you feel comfortable coming to them with anything. And whether that be special ed related or whether that be growing in who you are as a person has really opened my eyes. There are people that I have sought out to ask questions and learn from, and they might be younger than me or they might be really older than me and have a completely different background and a completely different life. I always look out for people. Wherever I am, I want to learn, what do you do or what do you try? And just hear about their stories and what they've been through and what has worked and what hasn't worked, and hopefully have a lot of advice that I can share with other people that can help them. But I think it can look very different in many ways. I have people at church that I look up to as mentors. And there's just, like I said, come from completely different backgrounds. But if you have maybe that one thing in common that you can really relate to them and learn from them, which is really cool.
That is really cool. And as I listen to you share about people who are impacting your life, I have no doubt that you are also impacting the lives of those you work with, because it's no doubt that you're making a great impact in the field of special education, because you've already received an amazing award. So you received the Jacob Leonard Mission Award at CHIPS for a Chance by enriching lives of people with disabilities. So tell me about this award and what it means to you.
So my director, the founder of Jacob's Chance, Kate, she reached out to Jacob's mom. Jacob was an individual with a disability. He had passed away years ago, and he was really passionate about playing sports and doing what every other kid did. Although he had difficulties with that, he was still able to enjoy sports and life. And Kate reached out to his mom and she said, we want to start this award, and just describing Jacob and describing me. And his mom agreed that that's a person that is worthy of receiving the award. The award really focuses on carrying out who Jacob was and what his mission was. And his mission was that he believed everyone can enjoy their life and do what they want to do. And that's what Jacob's Chance does. We provide opportunities for people to play sports, to attend enrichment programs, to play music, to go fishing, just enjoy life and just really make life the fullest that it can be. When she started talking and I realized she just was describing me. I started with Jacob's Chance almost 13 years ago, and I just got involved with it. I just decided to volunteer with the sports program, and I got to meet some really cool people. So when I left for college, I knew that I wanted to stay in contact and I would go back and visit. And after I graduated and moved back to Richmond, Kate was like, hey, do you want to come volunteer and get involved again? And I was like, absolutely. Like, I would love to. So I started volunteering for a couple months. And then she offered me the position as athletic director. And that to me was like complete full circle. I had realized that's where one of my passions really was, is to help people and provide them with opportunities to play the games that they love and to have buddies and people that they can socialize with while doing it. And just, I hope that I continue to carry out his message and what he believed in and what his family so strongly believes in. So I really hope that Jacob carries on forever. His mission is so important, and the people that we serve, that we get to serve now, is remarkable. We've grown in numbers and we provide a lot of opportunities for people with all abilities. It's not just one disability, which I think makes us so unique. We really see what the families want and what the participants want, and we do our best to make it happen. So we like to say that we make great things happen every day, and I hope that I can live that out to my best ability, because he was just a remarkable individual and the lives that he touched are endless. Receiving that award was a really, really huge honor for me. I was beside myself. Because to me, this is something that I get to do every day, and I get to just help people and be there for them. And I'm just so fortunate to be a part of so many great organizations and have such a special relationship with the special ed community. So it's just, it's wonderful.
It is wonderful. And I can't think of a more deserving recipient, Sadie, all the work that you're doing, the work that I saw you do here at Longwood, and hearing all the incredible things that you're doing out in your community now, you are absolutely living that mission. And so I think you can take that to heart. And we're very fortunate to have that connection with you, as is everyone who has a connection with you, because you definitely bring light everywhere you go. Talking about where you go, what are your aspirations? What's next for Sadie Hodges?
That's a great question. Like I said earlier, I would love to be a part of a transitional program, whether that be a post-secondary program, whether that be doing transition at my school specifically. I just am really passionate about transition and what's next for people. We are lucky to have so many employers and so many community partners now that do offer jobs for people with special needs, and there's more resources out there. So being able to help find someone a job, not only that it's just a job that they do every day, but something that they really want to do. That's where I am right now. I am just, you know, so eager to find out what's next for me. I don't know. I don't know what is out there. I'm still researching programs, and I know that Henrico County has some things that are coming, but I don't know what those are yet. But if we can collaborate more with the community and people that are willing to provide those job opportunities to my students and other individuals out there, I just want to be a part of it. I really just want to help and make sure that parents feel comfortable with what's next for their child. There's so many things out there for parents to learn about, like waivers and money and what's going to happen to them once they're gone and their child with special needs is still here. So being able to just provide them with all of the resources and to help their child smoothly and successfully transition is what I would love to do full time.
That is excellent. And hearing the passion behind that, I think that we definitely need folks like you with a passion behind them to drive that work forward, because it's such important work. So do you feel like your time here at Longwood has prepared you to do those things? It sounds like it has prepared you to do what you were doing now with grace. And I know that you're excited every time you talk about Longwood, but has it prepared you for both where you are and where you'd like to be?
Yes. I have really looked back and felt like I had the tools needed to do the job that I was meant to do. I go to school every day and I'm proud to tell people that I graduated from Longwood. I am a product of Longwood, and there's at least 10 other teachers at my school that also attended Longwood. So we are always very proud to say, this is where we went to school. And when I get to tell people, they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense, because we do have such an amazing program. And for the special ed program, I have really utilized things that I've used and can take them into my classroom, especially that grad year, I feel was so important. Like, I do know how to properly collect data on my students and show like what's working, what's not working. Being able to collaborate with other people has been so beneficial and so important to me. And along with life, I've learned so much. Like I said, I didn't do the program where I was full-time teaching and then came and attended classes. I was still at Longwood, and I was able to help with Longwood Life and really see a vision for it and where it was going and help with planning and be with those students twice a week. It was amazing. And I have students, and my experiences now in high school are very similar. I get to take them out on job sites, and I get to take data, and I get to show them, this is how far you've come. This is what you learned. This is how you're doing. And I wouldn't have had that experience if I was somewhere else. Longwood has prepared me more ways than I think I know. I talk to other educators, and I'm able to help them. And I'm younger than them. And that's amazing. I learned so much from the professors here, from my cohort in grad school, like when they were doing their teaching, that it was just, I was trying to take it all in. There was so much. So I think that my passion for transition really came from my grad year too, with Longwood Life. That inspired me to be like, wow, I want to career out of this. I see myself teaching for maybe a couple more years, and then I want to grow. I want to do something else in the field, because I think it's, the work is so important and we're coming such a long way. But I don't even think I can explain how grateful I am to have gone to a program where I've learned so much from all of the people that were in it and the experiences I had. So I'm just very appreciative for what Longwood has and had offered me. I often think about my time there, and I really tried to get involved as I could to take as much out of it as I could. I wanted to experience it all. I wanted to just do everything I could while I was there, because I knew it wouldn't last forever. I miss it a lot, and I'm really grateful for it, because it's made me who I am and has taught me a lot about myself and my professional interests and what I want to do in the field. So for that, I'm very grateful.
You mentioned you wanted to take all that you could from Longwood while you were here. And I just want to say that as much as you have taken, you have given, because just recently, within a few weeks ago, I remembered looking up and seeing a huge section at JPB at a basketball game with Longwood Life students. And they were so excited to be there. They were cheering and hollering. And I look over and I see Sadie Hodges' face just as smiling and bright and cheering. And so as much joy as you give them, I could see that they give that back to you. And to know that you remain connected to Longwood in that way is really powerful. And it's a testament to how much Longwood has done for you, but really how much you've continued to do for Longwood. So my last question for you, Sadie: what advice would you give to someone who is interested in pursuing a graduate degree in special education? You've got a lot to share. What advice might you give someone?
Oh, there's so much I could say. Really think about your passion and what you want to do within the field. Because for me, that keeps me going. It is a lot. Some people know that. They work knowing that special ed teachers caregive for their students. They do more than teach. Your heart has got to be in it. You have to find those things that really
make you satisfied with the work that you're doing. For me, that's my students. They keep me going. And I know that's the case for a lot of people, but it can be really hard at times. But knowing that you are making a difference has been the biggest thing for me. There's so many days where I'm just bombarded and have all this paperwork to do. But I think about the person that it affects. I really do. I think about, I'm doing all of this because it's going to change someone's life and it's going to have an impact on their life. And it can be really easy to get bogged down with all of the work that you are expected to do. And I just don't want people to feel discouraged by the job, because people do. And there's a lot of things that you could complain about, but there are a lot of things that you are having a direct influence on. And at the end of the day, as long as you are taking care of your students and you have their best interests in mind, you're doing a good job, because everything else will come as it comes. But I know for me that has been the biggest thing, is with the time of not being able to finish everything and the amount of work that we have and are expected to do. But I focus on the child and the student and what it is that I can bring to them and what I can teach them. And your passion really keeps you going. But just know that there will be barriers, and you find people that you can reach out to for support. I connect with the right people and I say, like, how can I make this easier? Or what can I do? And experience and time will help with that. But finding those people that can really relate to what you're going through and you can talk to them about it has made me feel so much better, knowing that I'm not the only one that feels like the work is too much sometimes. I have a great support system, my family, people at work. I find those people to connect with and to collaborate on what can make this easier for us. Like, how can we do what's best for our student, but also be able to get all of this done? I would say reach out to people. Don't ever feel like you're in it alone, because you're not. And you do have support, and people are willing to help.
That's excellent advice for anyone, and particularly those who are entering the field of special education. Collaboration is so important, connecting with one another, knowing that there are others out there to help you, to support you and guide you. I think those are all great pieces of advice. Sadie, it has been absolutely wonderful to talk with you today. I can't thank you enough for stopping by our podcast. Is there any last things that you would like to share with our listeners today?
I just want to say thank you so much for listening. Everybody has a story, and I'm just really grateful I was able to share mine with you all. And I'm just really appreciative for Longwood and all that it's offering for so many people. So thank you.
Thank you, Sadie, and we'll catch you all next time.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Longwood GradCast Beyond the Degree. We hope these stories have sparked motivation and empowerment, shining a spotlight on the incredible potential within Longwood's graduate and professional studies community. Leadership is in our blood. Is it in yours? We're here to support your educational journey and career aspirations. To explore our graduate programs and professional endorsement, head over to our website at longwood.edu/grad programs.